Some is charging differences from the county, and I believe some is just more volume. We did try to add a nominal increase to the salt and de-icer for the highway department. We've tried to maintain it stable for a number of years, so we just added a little bit there, $9,500. Vehicle support went up across all departments by $11,500. And police department supplies, all the individual line items where there were some changes not noted above, added up to around $10,850. The on page 116, every year we have an anticipated under expenditure, and that was up over $400,000. And we did bring that down $38,000. So recognizing the budgets continue to get sort of tighter and tighter, it's harder to underspend line items. So we have narrowed that down. And it's worth noting or recalling, if you just look at the summary pages, it looks like we're spending almost $2 million of our fund balance. When in fact, there's on page 116, the contingency area, you can see there's $1.9 million of restricted contingency. So it's not anticipated that we're going to use that. We always build it into the budget ordinance that it takes a four-person vote to be able to use any of that. That's a sort of an internal cost control we put on it. This number happens to help ensure that we do preserve sort of all the space under the expenditure restraint program that we're allowed by the state and still get that revenue. So by having this here, unanticipated expenditures could come into our budget and not cause us to lose that state revenue, such as the increase in expenses that would happen with this referendum or that's currently scheduled, or if you decide next year to do another one, we need to preserve this balance. So it serves that purpose, but it also serves that purpose of if there were a natural disaster here in town, you know, a tornado that came through, and, you know, we can't legally respond and spend money to fix things unless we have an appropriation. You have to have that appropriation built in. So we have that already built in that lets us be sort of have that first step ready and not then risk losing our expenditure restraint money. So we've been doing this now for, I don't know, 8 or 10 years at least. So
how does that dollar amount compare to the prior years?
It is larger. We've sort of hovered in that, I think, $800,000 to $1.2 million. Recognizing the debate that went on this year for a potential referendum for the fire department, we realized we needed to preserve the full value, and so that's what we've done.
Council members, do you have a clear understanding of that restricted contingency? If you don't, ask, please, for clarity, because you're being asked to approve this budget. So,
but the important thing to recognize with that is it doesn't increase taxes. It simply shows as an accounting basis that, hey, we've got this this appropriation, shows an expenditure. It looks like, well, if you spend all that, your fund balance is going to be $1.9 million lower. But we don't plan on spending it. There aren't offsetting expenditures anticipated against that, nor are there revenues scheduled to fund it, where it's largely an accounting mechanism that helps us in the case of emergency and helps ensure we can preserve our expenditure restraint money.
So that balance, I mean, in light of not using it, that should go all back to fund balance at the end
yes.
of the year. Unless a catastrophic situation would occur.
It will never leave fund balance unless this council, by a supermajority, votes to use some of it for something. So, and we have $125,000 of contingency that is not restricted that is available for those regular issues that come up. So it's not until you've used that $125,000 that you would even have to think about using the restricted contingency.
Council, though, should understand that if the current referendum for police were approved, then that new expenditure would enter the budget, and we would reduce this contingent reserve by a similar amount, because the absolute cap that exists is a state-mandated item, and it counts all expenditures. So if we add an expenditure from the police referendum, we would have to reduce this contingent reserve.
So we would reduce it by
the same amount that we're increasing expenditures for the police.
But we're going to have income coming in.
That's irrespective. The state statute does not look at your revenues at all. It only looks at your expenditures.
The statute he's referring to is the expenditure restraint program. We don't have to participate in that, but if we want the money from the state, we have to meet the guidelines. And it sets what our total increase in expenditure can change. We've included in our level that $1.9 million. So if the referendum's passed and we're going to add that other $500,000 of expenditures, we'll then just add the $500,000 in the personnel, reduce the $500,000 from the $1.9 million. Our budget will actually look like it has the same bottom line number, because that's as high as we can be right now. So that will happen largely for any increases that if this council adds things to the budget, say you go into a separate department and add $30,000 for something, but don't, you know, if you add $30,000 for something, we'll have to reduce that from that contingency amount, because we've sort of used as much as we could to preserve as much as we could for either the natural emergency or these budgetary emergencies that could come up from a referendum or something.
So regarding the referendum, not necessarily regarding the referendum, but employee allocations, there is still we're allotting monies for a COPS grant for a position, half of the position. Was that just discussing 2018?
Yeah, that was 2018.
And not
we didn't
future.
Didn't receive the grant.
I know we didn't
That's
approve anything. Oh, correct. We didn't approve it. So it's not something that we're looking to apply for in 19.
This budget doesn't anticipate.
Okay. Okay.
That's each year we would make that adjustment, though, that you were referring to.
We have made that adjustment for the contingent reserve annually, and it is always dependent upon how much the statute would permit our expenditures to increase.
Which could change.
It does change every year as to how much it happens. And as a matter of fact, we are using an assumed inflation rate, and that inflation rate won't be set and finalized until later this month. And so we will have to come back and modify that once we know the actual permitted increase. We've made a best guesstimate, but the rate gets set on Sunday of this week, and the federal government won't release the amount until later this month. And then the Wisconsin Department of Revenue will confirm that sometime late in the fourth week of October.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Mark, in going with WRS and Paul, what is the cost associated with WRS versus the costs that we are currently incurring with our current program?
That's about five lines down on this handout I just gave you, right under the word includes. And so the added amount for WRS was $97,223.
So that's a net number. But we're going to still have duplicate costs, aren't we, in monitoring our current?
No, because an individual, this assumes everybody makes the trade. There may be some employees. So, for example, a DPW employee who's close to retirement will likely want to stay in the plan they're currently in.
Correct.
This added cost for WRS, because right now we the city share, is a lower amount. We're only like 3.9%. 3.8, 3.9%, not even 5%. So getting up to the 6.55%, the cost for a DPW employee to switch over will actually cost us more. If some of them stay, this number will go down more. And so what the action for tomorrow on the agenda says, giving me the direction to go that, you know, sort of support that, yes, you want to do it, and I'll go work out the details, those are the kinds of details we'll work out. How can we make it so that the employees who are close to retirement can stay where, you know, maybe stay where they are, because if they move to WRS, they wouldn't be in it long enough to become vested? Or for the new employees who've maybe only been here a year or two that want to move over, but then what happens to not becoming fully invested for their first 2 years of service? So trying to make sure we figure out how to hold people harmless and how to in the switching of the pension plan, while at the same time trying to figure out how to make it so that in all likelihood that those pension plans don't need to be here for another 25, 30, 40 years.
Is that a vesting program that's required by WRS?
Yeah.
It's a two-year, no matter what?
WRS has, a five-year.
Okay, 20%
vesting,
every year.
And they don't make any provisions for people coming in. You can't shorten that. You can't buy years of service. You can buy years of service, very expensive, but you can't transfer money from one fund to another and get years of service that way.
Okay. Okay.
So that sort of gives you an overview. If I can just talk very briefly about process. So the Committee of the Whole gets to address the mayor's recommended budget first. If you want any changes to end up at the public hearing on the budget, the Committee of the Whole can make a recommendation, vote on it, and if a majority approves altering numbers in this budget, then that change number would be what we publish in the public hearing notice to the citizens, and that's what we would present at the meeting in November. So you as alderman acting as the Committee of the Whole can make changes to this if there's something that you want different to be presented at the public hearing that we will have in November 14th or right around then. One thing we will do is if the referendum is approved on November 6th, then we will bring to that meeting of the Common Council where they hear the budget, the necessary changes to incorporate the approved referendum into this document.
Thanks, Mike.
Any questions from the council? Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Well, I would like the final budget to clearly show the approved project activities for 2018 that could fall out within the capital improvement projects. And when the example is the Rawson Homes, where it could be possibly another reject all bids, and without the grant carryover into the 2019 column, then it would require a budget amendment, and I would not like to have to go through the budget amendment should that happen. I would like it to just be there since it's just an MMSD grant. So that would be one requirement. The other change would be
Alderwoman, do you know which pages you're referencing in here?
Well, that would be in the capital improvement.
Page 319.
Could you talk a little louder?
Kristen, could you repeat? And
I was looking for the final budget to show the approved project activity for 2018 that might fall out. And for example, I gave the Rawson Homes project or other projects that could not be funded. And specifically, I wanted the Rawson Homes project to be MMSD grant to be carried over into the 2019 budget column just in case we wouldn't have to require a budget amendment to finish that project up, because that's been ongoing for many, many years.
So probably the manner in which Paul and I can talk about this, but I would probably do it instead of showing it spent this year and then spent again next year, thereby the fund balance looking too small, or showing it spent this year and showing it spent next year and adding a bogus revenue, I would probably show it in the 2018 column as not completed. We'll then have it carry over so the fund balance shows the same. We'll show it being spent in 2019, but we'll add a footnote or something that makes it clear that these projects may still be completed this year. And
because it is going to go out for bid, but whether it will happen or not, it's yet to see.
So then what you would likely see is at some point during next year, maybe when we're doing the encumbrances or carryovers, if a project was fully completed in 2018 with this year's budget appropriation and it's still listed next year, we'll probably have that then removed from the budget. So Paul and I will talk about a mechanism to do that, and then it'll probably involve adding a footnote.
And then tomorrow night we're talking about the front entranceway, and that's listed in 320 under roof repairs at City Hall. I don't know, is this a project that will go out for bid? Are we going to do that? Should we move that into 2019? Should it be under pending projects?
Which one? I'm sorry.
This is the City Hall. Roof repair.
I'm personally very comfortable dealing with it through a budget modification at the year. That's fairly standard procedure for things that aren't completed in 1 year, the money's not spent. If there's already a contract in place, it comes to you as an encumbrance. If there's not, it comes to you as a carryover with a reappropriation. So that's typically how we've done it. But I understand your concern with the Rawson Homes to want to make sure that there's nothing going to stop that from happening. But with the City Hall project, I don't know that we need to do that as well, but we can.
All right, I will be open to that. I'm wondering about replacing the Woodview Park approved project, which doesn't have any funding, with the Neighborhood Park acquisition funds that we had talked about. And putting that in Neighborhood Park. Now that would be on 320. District 6, Nelson's project that he's been...
Could you repeat what you're trying to accomplish? I wasn't sure I caught it.
Well, if you look at approved projects on 320, there is the Woodview Park purchase for Park, but then it says approved, but then there isn't any funding in there. So I'm suggesting that we take the page 321 Neighborhood Park land acquisition and move that up under the approved projects and remove the Woodland Park line item.
You mean the Woodview?
Woodview, yeah.
Well, the Woodview is shown, if I'm reading this correctly, that's shown as a potential future project.
Well, it's listed under approved projects on 320. And then,
the appropriation isn't until after 2025.
Well, maybe just adding, then moving up the neighborhood one, Neighborhood Park under approved.
So you want to move the Neighborhood Park land acquisition from projects pending approval to approved projects?
I would like to do that. I would think that Alderman Nelson might want to do that as well. So that's why I'm suggesting it.
To clarify.
I want some clarification on it. That's why I think it's just kind of muddied up. It's not really clear.
The budget ordinance that we adopt every year explains and defines those two terms. So an approved project, if it's listed in the Capital Improvement Fund as an approved project, then staff's expectation is there to be working toward having that project accomplished. If it's a project pending approval, the expectation is that until we get further direction from council, the only thing we're to put together is the information the council would need to make a decision on it. So that's the distinction between the two. So if you want to enhance the sort of priority of parkland acquisition, then you would move it up to the approved projects line items.
Just to be clear to the council, if you refer to page 321 of the budget book. The fourth line item from the top of page 321 indicates that a neighborhood park land would be purchased in 2018. And then the 2019 budget, as it's proposed, has an unapproved park land acquisition project for an additional $298,000 and some change. And then the project also indicates that at some future point in time, looking out more than 5 years, is another neighborhood park acquisition for another $300,000. So there is, all three projects are listed in this budget as it's currently composed.
And what Ms. Liberta was saying, if the alderman desires to have that an active working on project and move it priority up, he should move it from page 321 and put it on page 320.
Is that correct?
If the council wishes to have a 2019 project that's an approved project for parks, then the project should be moved from pending approval to approved.
But that would, what Paul said is that would be a second project, because you already have one in this year with an appropriation that you're working on. So you already have that $298,000. If you want a second approved $298,000 project, Paul's saying that's what 2019 is.
No, I think I'm good with the one that we're talking about. I'm not sure.
Which one is already in the approved?
Funding for future land purchase?
The budget anticipates, as noted on page 320 and 321, that during calendar year 2018, a neighborhood park land will be purchased for $275,000.
Under pending approval.
It says that that money is going to be spent. It's currently in the capital improvement fund, and we're going to spend it, so there won't be any money left. If the 2018 project doesn't get completed, then that $275,000 will be in the fund balance, and it would be available for a carry-forward project into 2019.
Oh, it's real similar to the one with the Ross and Holmes. It's carry-forward.
Exactly. Okay. But if the council wishes to have another approved project for a neighborhood park land acquisition, then in 2019 it should be moved from pending to approved.
How are we doing on the need for impact fees? Where that? How much do we need to use on impact fees before we're in that have to give back situation again?
You last I looked at it, if you build the shelter next year, you will you'll be good through. Yeah, you'll be good through into 2020, so you'll still need other projects to 2019.
Will that one neighborhood park be enough for 2019?
One thing that did happen, there was a period that we're coming to where a couple of years there was very low revenue collected due to the economy back then. But I know with the, as long as that shelter is built or a pavilion is built next year, we don't run into a problem till early 2020. If we don't have an expenditure of that size in 2019, then you would start refunding money in 2020 about February.
And then if we do go forward with this land purchase, then that would also buy us more time.
It definitely would. So if you go forward with the land purchase, that would basically fill up another full year of time. because back in 2008, our collections were around $133,000, and the use of impact fees for the purchase would be more than that. So,
okay.
So that begins to make a nice chunk. The collections then went down back in 2009, so we have a little time, but we still do need to keep some things moving so that we get caught up by the 2021 time frame.
I still think it would make more sense putting it up under the approved projects, even if it's 2018, because right now it's still pending. We haven't voted to do that. We haven't voted to move it up into approved. And if we don't do it in the budget, you know, it's...
No, it's true. You could easily move it there to emphasize the need to move it. It doesn't change the fund balance. It just lets the staff know that you want them to keep working toward park acquisition.
No, that's... I missed it because I had my sticky note over the end of it that it was a future project funding on there. So... No, it wouldn't do.
But
it wouldn't do the same.
About moving that into the Woodview slot.
No, that was. They pointed out that right where I had my sticky note was a price tag out here in future projects. So I had it. I didn't see that it actually had a price for future. But yeah, I think it should go there. So I'm going to make that recommendation as well to move that.
Which one?
The neighborhood parkland acquisition into approved projects.
And what was the first one? Ross and Holmes?
That was the Ross and Holmes where you had talked about a little bit different way to...
Right. So to do that then, you would actually need to make the motion to modify the mayor's recommended 2019 budget to move the neighborhood... parkland acquisition to an approved project and to add appropriations in 2019 for the Ross and Holmes project while reflecting no change in fund balance.
You'd also have to move the grant into 2019, move the grant into 2019.
Yeah. I just said by and showing no change in fund balance, so then we'll adjust the revenues and the footnotes, however.
Well, before
we
tomorrow, I should get with you on the correct motion and make sure I've got that all the way.
Well,
make the motion tonight.
We will be making it tonight?
Yeah, that's, yeah. So the budget, the ordinances on the for adoption of the budget gives that authority to modify the mayor's proposed budget for the hearing to the committee of the whole. So you can do that right now.
Okay.
The way I phrase the motion, I think we can... then create the documents and distribute them so that you'll see what it looks like and how the footnote shows.
So is that a motion? Yes. Move to move the neighborhood park acquisition project into approved projects and the appropriation for the grant of Ross and Holmes project into... 2019
in a manner that reflects no change in fund balance. And so then that would give Paul and I the authority to figure out how to do the revenues, how to do the footnotes, so that a person looking at the book understands what's happening between 2018 and 2019.
Okay. And then, yeah.
There was a first and a second. Any additional questions? Now, so that's not going to affect our fund balance at all. So it's not going to...
No, but it's still changing the document and changing the intent, so it should be approved as a change.
Wash.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All in... well, let's see. I'm acting as the mayor, so...
Did you get your second?
Yeah. Okay. It was Alderman
Nelson.
Second.
On the end. Yeah. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion passed. I'm acting as...
Voting as mayor?
Yeah, I'm voting as mayor.
Okay.
So the motion passes, 4 in favor, 1 absent, none against.
Okay, and then the other one I'd already talked with the clerk about, that was on page 57, adding the quarry monitoring committee and the list of committees. So all the committees, because I actually sit on that one, it wasn't listed, and she's already taken that note, and I don't think we need a motion on that.
I think page 57?
Correct.
No, I believe it's just a text change. So it's a correct. It's a correction. We can do that for the final pages for the public hearing.
And then.
Changes for the public hearing. It's just the dollars.
So the other item I have was the amending the budget to add the grant revenue that was received for the tree grants. And that is a new item that I believe Glenn may have talked to you about right before the meeting, that a grant was received. So I'd like to amend the budget to add that grant revenue that was received.
And how much money are you I haven't been given any detailed information on that. So what
5,000.
Are you?
5,000.
So then your motion would be to add $5,000 to the capital outlay budget grant revenue, and then remove the contingency for $5,000 for trees?
Right.
And you want that in the highway budget or in the parks budget?
In the highway budget, because then it'll be street trees.
Madam Clerk.
I know we're all making motions, but if you could use the wording where you are tentatively amending the mayor's budget, because if somebody listens to the tape, it sounds like we've already adopted the budget. So if you could use the wording that's
Yeah, I can
on
add that. I move to tentatively amend the mayor's budget, recommended 2019 budget by.
I already have it.
Okay.
Thought in the future if we could just
I'm putting it on
contingency though,
with both of them actually so